Praise God. Well, don't know about you, but I'm very happy today. I'm happy because I have a wonderful Savior. He's alive. We've been singing about him. He's so worthy to be praised. Amen. I'm happy in Jesus, folks. Are you happy in Jesus? Amen. Amen. Yeah. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. And the enemy may have told you all sorts of lies this week. May have told you that you're no good. May have told you that you've messed up. May have told you that you're too far gone. May have told you any number of lies. It's all lies. He is the father of lies. But God loves you. You're precious. He loves you so much. He loves you as a father loves their little child. He loves you. Praise his name. Oh, isn't he so wonderful? You know, I just want to thank you, Lord. We all want to thank you. There's a sense of gratitude in this place, Father God. Worship and honor to you. Thank you just for your love for us, Father. Oh, your beautiful, rich love for us. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Oh, we worship you and adore you. Father God, have your way now, Lord. Have your way. Have your way, Savior. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Amen. 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 Now, listen, folks, we're going to have a very interesting and very important message. Because I'm going to speak a continuation of what we've been looking at on kingdom. And I would like everyone to get this. This is very important. You know, I'm convinced that a great deception has taken place. And the religion of whatever it might be has attempted to replace Jesus' teaching. It could even be the Christian religion. The religion of Christianity could be a fraudulent attempt to deviate people away from the truth of what Jesus taught. Now, there's a concept for you right there. Let's just think on that for a few moments. The religion of Christianity, a fraudulent attempt to deviate people away from the truth about what Jesus taught. Let's go back then as we look at this now. Let's start from the beginning. And this is going to be an overview this morning on kingdom and the importance of kingdom. From the beginning, let's go to the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings, Genesis 1, 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Praise God, we have dominion over creeps and other things. Amen? So this statement then reveals God's original mandate for mankind. Dominion. Dominion is the word. And in the Hebrew, the word there for dominion is akin to the word that's used in the New Testament for kingdom. It's the same thing. It means to reign and rule. So think about this. God's original purpose is to give us that rule, that dominion, that kingdom over the earth. The fall happens. Sin comes in. And mankind loses that dominion. But the New Testament teaches us, doesn't it, that a new kingdom is ushered in with Jesus. And it describes it as Jesus, the second or the last Adam. So it references Jesus back to Adam. And so what Adam lost, his dominion, his rule, Jesus came to restore. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now then, let's look at Jesus' teaching. Because we have a church, the church in the main, the religious establishment teaches you must be born again. I mean, that's the main focus. And I don't know about you, but many people people aren't interested. You go up to something, you must be born again. You just see their eyes glaze over. Or someone from a different religion. You tell them, well, you want to join another Christian religion. Well, just no, I've got my own religion. Thanks very much. They're not interested, are they? But Jesus didn't give us a religion to share. He didn't teach us to preach born again. Jesus did. That's not Jesus' message. He didn't teach us to preach born again. Now, is that shocking for anyone? Put your hand up if it is. Good. There's an honest man. And I knew you were. He didn't teach that. He taught Nicodemus that because Nicodemus wanted to know about the kingdom. And Jesus said, unless someone is born again, they won't see the kingdom of God. So he taught born again within the context of kingdom. Now, I'm so happy I was born again. 15 years old, born again. But that's not the message that Jesus told his followers to share. It's not the message. But the enemy, I believe, the enemy in his deviousness has sold it to the church as the message they should share because that puts people off. That'll put them off. That'll put them off. That'll shut them down. Because the message that Jesus gave us to share was to go and preach the good news of the kingdom. And the kingdom is a totally different thing. And I find that people are open to kingdom. Because kingdom, it isn't marginalized to religion. Kingdom is expansive. It's not narrow to a doctrine. It's expansive. Jesus gives us the gospel of the kingdom. Let's look at what the scriptures teach. In the Lord's Prayer, what did Jesus say? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The religion of Christianity has turned that around. And the religion of Christianity makes everything about heaven. Oh, it's all about heaven. We're not so interested in the earth. The earth is the car. We're not so interested in that. You know, we're so spiritual. We're interested in heaven, don't you know? But Jesus taught his followers, listen, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Don't worry about heaven. That's been taken care of. Jesus is saying to us, listen, now, The situation that I've asked you to engage with is earth. And what I've asked you to engage with is kingdom. And the enemy doesn't want that message to be got out. Because if God's people lay a hold of kingdom and what kingdom means, I believe it would revolutionize the way we think, the way we believe. And I don't use the word revolutionize lightly. I mean it. A complete transformation would take place. Because then this wouldn't be a setup of, let's say, a church that we just attend. We come to a church every week, and then we sing some songs, and it's nice, and then we go home, and then we come next week, and maybe we, you know, and we read the Bible, and we do our sort of religious duties. No. It wouldn't look like that. It would look different. It would be different because we would be more of a team involved in a kingdom purpose, involved in a mission. Let me explain. In essence, and I'm going to be talking in summary form. So in essence, what Jesus has given us is a mandate where he tells his followers to go and preach the gospel of the kingdom. And when we preach the gospel of the kingdom, what we're doing is we are infiltrating this kingdom with his kingdom. Thy will be done, thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, those who are following Jesus, Jesus is saying to them, you have an influence on earth for the kingdom of heaven. That makes sense? Now watch this. That's very similar to what the United Kingdom has done. When the United Kingdom has colonized countries around the world. Australia. Go to Australia, you find lots of things in Australia the same as here. Why? Because it was colonized. They drink tea. And lots of customs are the same. They look to Queen Elizabeth. Lots of things are very similar in Australia to here. Because it was colonized by people who were citizens of this kingdom. In fact, the word colonized, colon, colon. Where's your colon? Food goes into the mouth, enters into that colon, passes through the colon. If it goes through the mouth, it'll go through the colon. In other words, if it's at the source, it goes through everything that's been colonized. If it's in England, it'll go in Australia. And they send a governor to Australia to make sure that it happens. The governor goes there, he has his mansion, and it takes place. He makes sure his mandate is to make sure that what this mother place of the kingdom believes in is believed over there. He represents so that it's believed over there. And he establishes that in that territory. That's exactly what Jesus has called us to do. Glory to God. Folks, that looks very different to the religion of Christianity. The religion of Christianity is about rites and rituals and all that stuff that I find quite boring. It's rites and rituals. Now, I'm not saying that there isn't something in that in terms of respect and honor, and there's some dignity in some of that, and I wouldn't chuck it all out. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, as they say. There's certain things. But you take, for example, the communion. We have communion. But what was the communion? The communion was a fellowship meal. Now, the truth is that it was a nice piece of meat with a nice bit of bread and some wine. Fellowship meal. The religion of Christianity has turned it into a little piece of bread and you dip it in the wine. That's different to the Passover meal. Passover meal is very different. We've turned it into The religion of Christianity has turned it into something. Now, Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me. So in a way, you could say, well, fair enough, because we can do that in that little way because of time and because of things. We can do it like that in remembrance of him. So I'm not against it, but I am aware that it's different. And being aware that it's different, in that instance, it's okay. We can understand that. But you know what? When we deviate from what the scriptures teach and mean, we have to be careful. Very careful. Different cultures, different things. We can understand certain things. But when it comes to a central doctrine like the kingdom, we've got to be careful that we don't allow religion to replace kingdom. I believe that's what's happened in the majority of churches. It's a strong statement. I believe that's happened. And for those who've asked me, why is it that we have miracles in our church? Why is there power in the church? I believe it's for that reason. I believe that most churches are going through the motions of religion and they have an outward appearance, but it is devoid of power. A form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. The Bible says, have nothing to do with them. Have nothing to do with that. We have to have authentic kingdom. There's power. Every kingdom has power. You think Jesus' kingdom wouldn't? No. If it's kingdom, there's power. There's spiritual power from on high. And the truth is, Jesus has made this very clear time and time again, and the church just hasn't got it. Let's look at some scriptures, just because I feel it's important now that we really just have a look at some scriptures, because it is striking the difference between, you know, what we've been led to believe and the truth. So I want us to look at some scriptures here straight away. Matthew 4:17. Matthew 4:17, from that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Matthew 4:23, Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. Matthew 5:3-4, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Matthew 5:24, I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. Wow. Unless it surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, your righteousness. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Matthew 6:9-10. Matthew 6:33. But seek first his kingdom. Jesus is teaching us, folks, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you as well. I mean, that's the advice of Jesus. Seek first his kingdom, his righteousness. But seek first his kingdom. Matthew 9, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. Matthew 10, as you go, preach this message, the kingdom of heaven is near. Matthew 12:28, but if I drive out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Matthew 13:11, he replied, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Find out someone who doesn't know much about kingdom. They haven't been given the secrets of the kingdom. Jesus has given us the secrets of the kingdom. He's given us, in fact, the keys of the kingdom. What do keys do? They unlock doors. You've been given keys. You've been given keys to the kingdom. Which kingdom? God's kingdom. What are you doing with the keys? Good question. Well, Jesus gave you a set of keys. He gave you a set of keys to the kingdom. I've got a set of keys to a car. I can start the car. I can drive the thing, go somewhere in the car. I've got a set of keys for my house. I can open. I mean, wouldn't it be a terrible thing if I was standing outside in the rain and it's just pouring down with rain and someone drives past? Why are you outside? So I can't get in. Haven't you got a key? Yeah, I've got a key. I haven't used it. Thanks, I'll use it now. I'll get in another. It'd be crazy, wouldn't it? But Jesus has given us keys to the kingdom. Those keys that he's given us are there for a purpose, folks. He's called us to use them. He's called us to use those keys. Who for? Well, are you in the kingdom? You are. Well, then maybe your keys will unlock the kingdom for someone else. Maybe because you're a custodian of keys and you have authority over the keys, you see someone there, you can unlock the door to the kingdom. Keys unlock doors. When God gives us keys, it's to unlock a door for someone else to enter into that kingdom. Notice, not religion. They don't want religion. They're not interested in religion. Ah, but the kingdom, yes. But you see, now when you're in the kingdom, watch this. If you're in the kingdom, okay, God calls us to reign in life. Romans 5:17, they shall reign in life through one Jesus Christ. We've said it before, who reigns? The only one I can think of who reigns is a king or a queen. Queen Elizabeth reigns over the United Kingdom, doesn't she? And the Commonwealth. Queen Elizabeth has a reign, an influence, an authority, and a power. And God says in Romans 5:17, he says to us, you shall reign in life on earth through Jesus Christ. He's called us to reign. What does that mean? That means that instead of going around trying to convince people they should follow my religion and you must be born again and boring people and annoying people, far better for me, in whatever capacity I have, to excel in my life and set a good example so that when they see me and they know me, they say, oh, do you know what? I want that bloke's a bit different. There's something going on there. If they've got a bit of wisdom, perhaps they'll see that in you. Perhaps they'll see it in me. And what they'll see is that as a governor in the kingdom, by the way, when a place is colonized, the governor's put in place, yes? Who's the governor on earth? Who is it? Anyone? You got it. I'm glad you answered that. Religious people would say Jesus. No, all of us. We're the governors. God has called us to have authority. Each one of us who believes in Jesus has power and authority. And we have to then exercise that power and govern the sphere that we're in. Govern it. Have authority, have rule, have an influence. Govern in that place. Whatever it is that you're doing in your work, refuse to be the tail. You're not the tail. Aim. Ask God. Yield to what God is saying. Maybe there's a season where perhaps you will be a tail, but you'll be a tail in such a way it'll be an example because you will be reigning in that area. If we use tail to represent, let's say, a lowly position in a workplace, just being careful in case someone has a lowly position in a workplace and they're discouraged. Don't be discouraged. You can reign within that position. But what I would say is this. Allow God to impact your thinking to the degree that you don't think lower of yourself than you ought to think. And it's been my experience that people just have a limited understanding and they are too narrow in their thinking. So instead of thinking big, they think small and narrow and, you know, they just narrow in their thinking. They don't think that they can have an influence because the truth of the matter is they don't have a governor mentality. They don't have that governor mentality. They don't have a kingdom mentality. Very often in the church, what we have is a religious mindset. And a religious mindset, it just doesn't involve God in things. It just has God, like, you know, God now and then throughout the week to cite God. But God isn't allowed to rule through us in life. And God is saying to us, listen, you allow me first place in your life, I'll make you the governor. You will be the governor. You will have an authority. And people will listen. Because you're meant to have an influence. Thy will be done, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Through us, his church. He's the head. We're the body. I mean, if you think about it, really, we are, Paul calls us ambassadors. We're ambassadors. In a way, this place should be seen as an embassy. Really, this is an embassy. Now, I went with Micah one time to have breakfast. I was invited by a diplomat to have breakfast with them. And when we went to their home for breakfast, this was in Geneva. And we went, and everything about the country they came from was represented on the breakfast table. Different foods, a selection of things, little gifts from the country, photographs from the country. The diplomats were very proud of their country. They were representing their country. And they were representing with a real desire for us to like the country that they came from. And in fact, we were invited over to speak in that country. Now, God has called us to represent his kingdom as ambassadors. So this is the embassy. And when we gather together, as we do throughout the week, then what we should be doing is inspiring one another in the means in which we've been influencing for the kingdom out there in that kingdom of darkness. We're ambassadors of the kingdom of light placed within the kingdom of darkness. And this is an embassy of light. And so when we come here, we come, we share, we encourage one another. We say, okay, what's going on? It's not difficult to get an ambassador to the embassy. The ambassadors love going to the embassy. And because they have such a sense of call, such a sense of, oh, I love going to the embassy. I want to be at the embassy. I want to go. We're going to have a meeting. We're going to find out how everyone's doing, you know. Oh, how are you doing? How's it going for you? Oh, you did that? Hey, I could try that myself. Do you see how it works? This is kingdom, not religion. With religion, religious folks, there's not enthusiasm for the things of God or the kingdom. God is calling us to be kingdom-minded. Can you see it, folks? I believe this is a shift. This morning, I believe, is very important for this church. Seriously, I really believe it's that fundamental. On Wednesday morning this week, God really impacted me with this. I've known about kingdom. I've preached about kingdom before. I've understood kingdom to a degree. But I had a revelation on Wednesday this week that I've never had before. I mean, to the point when Micah came back home, I was just dancing around. I was so happy. I was dancing and so just cheerful, dancing around the house. I was saying about the kingdom and what it really means. Our dear brother, Pastor Eric, phoned me up. I think it was on Wednesday or Thursday. We had a conversation and he could tell that I was really excited about what was going on. I'm excited about kingdom. And then I start reading, I've just been reading and studying since then. So happy to find out more and more about this reality for us as a church. This is just, are you getting it this morning so far, folks? Matthew 13:24, Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. He told them another parable, Matthew 13:31. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. I could go on and on and on about the kingdom in the New Testament. If you want to see how important kingdom is as a message, you take out a concordance and you have a look in the concordance how often Jesus preaches on kingdom. Central to his message, his understanding. And he's given us keys to that kingdom. Isn't this something? Well, ambassadors who represent their country know, and this is particularly what I want each one of us to take on board, they have great value designated to them. Ambassadors who represent their country know, number one, they have great value designated to them. When you meet an ambassador, there's someone who knows they have value. The enemy has force-fed the church in inverted commas, and perhaps outside of inverted commas, force-fed the established church religion to the point where the people generally don't recognize how valuable, how important they are in God's plan. The enemy doesn't want us to understand how important and valuable we are. He doesn't want us to start using the keys of the kingdom. He doesn't want us to recognize how powerful prayer is. He doesn't want us to engage in those things. So he's going to do everything he can to make us feel insignificant and as if we've got very little value. And that's very often why people don't turn up to the embassy. Because they don't feel they've got a value and a purpose. But listen, folks, I'm telling you this morning, you've got a great value and a great purpose and a great calling, God. God has called you and put his kingdom in you for his purposes. And it's so powerful. But we have to yield to that, first in our understanding. Get rid of the religious things. Religious things will hold us back. Embrace the kingdom and the power of that kingdom and say, you know what? I am a very important ambassador in his kingdom. And what you can do when you recognize that, only God knows. But you are a very, very important and powerful person. You have tremendous authority delegated to you. Franklin, that's you as well. I want you to know that this morning. Very important authority delegated to you. To each one of us. And he's saying to us, look, number one, an ambassador knows that they have great value designated to them. Number two, an ambassador knows that they have a specific role to fulfill. We're going to be studying these this evening in the scriptures. But if you look at Ephesians, it says there that God has planned good works for us in advance. God has planned those works. An ambassador knows they have a specific role to fulfill. What's your role as God's ambassador? What's your role? What's he called you to do? What's your role as an ambassador of God? Can you answer that this morning? Yeah, but it's going to be a specific role. Preach the gospel, yes, but what capacity? What's your role in the embassy? What do you do in the embassy? How do you help the embassy function? Some ambassadors take care of that coffee machine. Some ambassadors take care of all those horrible weeds in the front and the car park. Some ambassadors take care of other things around, the practical stuff. Some ambassadors then have things that are going on in the week, maybe involving internet evangelism, getting messages out, the cameras. Ambassadors have a specific role and function, and it's designated by an embassy. Number three, ambassadors, they're representatives of their country 24 hours a day, every day. It's why Jesus says, look, if you want to follow me, you have to pick up your cross daily. Follow me. What's he meaning? Well, you've got responsibilities and you need to get on with them daily. You've got kingdom responsibilities as a follower of Jesus, as an ambassador, and you need to do those daily. You don't have a day's rest. You know, I don't understand pastors who can go away, for example, on a break, and then they say, well, I'm not available during this 2 weeks, you know. I'm going away for a week. I'm not available, but you can talk to someone. What? I don't understand that. No. I don't stop being an ambassador of his kingdom when I'm on holiday. I'm always an ambassador. I'm always a pastor. I always have that function wherever I am. It's a call of God, not a call of man. You don't switch on and switch off. And you have that call. And you know, Maybe we haven't been brilliant at working on understanding what that is as a church. Maybe I've been at fault. Maybe I should have got everyone who comes to the church and had a meeting with everyone and gone through it and spoke to each one and sat the other side of a table. Let's do it now in summary, okay? Each one. I'm sitting at the table and I'm looking across at you and I'm saying, great to see you. We've had a good shake of the hands and a nice smile. And then I'm saying to you, I'm saying, now what's your role in the embassy? What do you think God is telling you or calling you to do and fulfill to help the embassy cause, the kingdom of light influence the kingdom of darkness? What is it? Tell me, please. And then as you share with me, maybe we'll find out what the will of God is. And I tell you this, I can promise you this now, that we will do our best to fulfill what we believe God is calling you to do in his embassy, in his kingdom. So if we haven't done enough of that, we make amends. And we're going to do plenty of that as we need to, okay? Everyone happy? Because the religion, you see, of Christianity gets people to come in, sit down, everyone's happy, have a nice sing-song, everyone shake hands a little bit, how you doing? Nice to see you. And then go home. And then come back a few days later, same sort of thing, and then go home. And it's nice on one level, perhaps. And some folks are happy with that, you know, especially if they've got religion. But if you've got the kingdom inside of you, if Jesus is really working inside of you, that's not going to satisfy. Because there's a river of life inside of you. And that river of life has got to come out somehow. And it's just got to come out. And the church really, in the main, so often the religious establishment, the church, has been the plug in the bottle. It's been the thing stopping the move of God. And the leadership of churches is actually the thing that stops the move of God so often. They get in the way. I believe what God is saying, listen, facilitate the kingdom. Get out of the way. Whose fame do we want to spread? Jesus. Whose gospel is this? Jesus is. Whose love is it we felt this morning as we were worshiping? Jesus is. It's him. It's his kingdom. We just, you know, it doesn't matter about us so much, but the message. And what matters is that we fulfill his call in our lives. The fourth thing about an ambassador who represents their country, they're keen to be at the embassy meeting to which they've been invited. The ambassadors, they go to those meetings regularly and they enthuse one another about how they're representing in that foreign country. I get encouraged, I don't know about you, but I get encouraged when I hear of the testimonies of people, you know, what's happened, what's been happening, how a word was given to someone in the church. And I love having the testimonies, you know, how the many things that are going on with people. It's so encouraging how God is using us, what's happening. And the fifth and last point that I'm going to share is that the whole purpose of an ambassador who represents their country is to promote the country of their origin. And that's their whole purpose. That's what they're designed to do. And that's the first thing on their mind. And really, that's what God has called us to fulfill. Seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Seek ye first his kingdom. Okay, the king who has dominion. It's his kingdom first. I seek first and his righteousness, it says. Well, watch this. When you understand kingdom and the fact that we are citizens within this spiritual kingdom, that kingdom that we are in, watch this, the kingdom that we're part of, that spiritual kingdom, and his righteousness. Righteousness means right standing before God. When I know the kingdom and I understand the kingdom, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, his right standing. When I understand that I have his right standing and I'm standing before him rightly as a child of God because of what Jesus has done, all these things will be added to me as well. I don't need to worry about them. An ambassador doesn't struggle for provision, folks. And that's too much for some in this room to understand now, but trust me, I'm speaking the truth. They don't struggle because God is their provision and God provides. That's why we never see the righteous begging for bread. Right standing in his kingdom produces. And it will always produce because God's not a liar. And his word is truth. The problem is that religious people, they very often, they don't want to stand on the word. They'll take bits of it that they like and the bits that they can understand and they'll accept that and that'll be okay. You know, they'll just have a little bit. But that's not the way it should work, folks. That's not the way of the ambassador. The ambassador has a designated commitment that's written how he should represent. He has no authority to change that. We are his ambassadors, and our commitment and our authority is seen within the Holy Scripture. We've got no power to change that. But when we believe that, what we'll find is it will produce. But that believing takes faith. And for some, that's going to be a jump. But if you can make that jump, what you'll find is God will not let you fall. He'll never let you down. And God will keep his word. Always does. He's not a liar. He's not a liar. So, there's a brief look at kingdom this morning. And as we close now, I want to say this. I would like everyone in this place to leave here today thinking of themselves as an ambassador in his kingdom. Recognizing that we're involved in the kingdom thing. This is the embassy. Maybe a humble embassy. It's an embassy. I'll tell you what, when ambassadors meet together and they agree on something, it's powerful what can happen. Amen. And when we meet together in prayer as his ambassadors, it's powerful what can happen. Are there things that we need to pray about, pray for? Is God leading us? Well, let's close this meeting with prayer. And let's just open our hearts to him. We don't want religion, do we? We want kingdom. He's called us as ambassadors. I'm excited. I really am excited. And he's got good plans for us.